It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. It might not provide $80,000 and $90,000 salaries, but tourism has picked up significantly in southern West Virginia, and economic leaders say there is a need for more small businesses.
In the 60s and 70s, when coal was popular, there's a lot more lodging in the area. These days, there's not as much, but that's what we need more of in order to be able to accommodate the number of people that come in.
That story from the Hatfield and McCoy ATV Trail is coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The U.S. House of Representatives has adopted a resolution formalizing its impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. As Dave Mistich reports, all three West Virginia Republican members voted against the measure.
The resolution adopted Thursday outlines the procedures lawmakers will follow as they transition from weeks of closed-door interviews with witnesses to public hearings and ultimately to possible votes on whether to recommend Trump's impeachment. The measure passed on a 232-196 vote, with two Democrats joining Republicans in opposing the measure. The House's lone independent voted in favor of the resolution. Representatives David McKinley, Alex Mooney, and Carol Miller of the state's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd districts, respectively, all voted against Thursday's resolution. Prior to the vote, Mooney and Miller had protested the closed-door hearings and called for more transparency. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
A report released by regional advocacy organizations argues that reclaimed abandoned mine sites could be a key factor in Appalachia's transition from coal. But not just any reclamation projects. Brittany Patterson has more.
The Reclaiming Appalachia Coalition is made up of five organizations located across central Appalachia. The group works with communities and others to identify ways to repurpose abandoned coal mining sites and find the money to do it. But there are parameters. Joey James is with coalition member Downstream Strategies. He says the group's goal is to support and promote innovative reclamation projects, projects that can be replicated, involve local communities, and are financially viable after grant funding runs out.
We see this limited pot of money is available for innovative land reuse, and we want to ensure that those dollars are efficiently and effectively spent.
In its second report released Thursday, the group highlighted 19 reclamation projects in West Virginia, Ohio, Virginia, and Kentucky. They include everything from solar farms to bike trails. In West Virginia, one new project slated to be built near old mine lands would turn food waste from West Virginia University into compost. The facility would employ those in recovery. 10 projects the coalition has championed received over $15 million in federal abandoned mineland pilot program funding in 2018. The group expects to begin collecting data on economic impact next year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Our region's ecosystem is already permanently altered due to climate change, but a Penn State researcher says it's not too late to act. For State Impact, 90.5 WESA's Sarah Bowden reports on what can be done to mitigate the inevitable.
The science shows that by the end of this century, humanity faces chronic disease, destroyed ecosystems, monstrous storms, and ruined cities, all tied to climate change. But Penn State's Ray Najjar says the future might not be so dire if we can transition the energy infrastructure away from fossil fuels and towards renewables.
We know how to deploy solar energy and wind energy. We need improvements with our grid to transmit that energy.
And he says there needs to be better technology to pull carbon from the atmosphere. Najjar says we have about a decade to make these changes so that the future climate, while warmer and wetter, won't pose such an existential threat. For State Impact Pennsylvania, I'm Sarah Bowden in Pittsburgh.
On this weekend's Inside Appalachia, we take a ride along the Hatfield and McCoy ATV Trail. It's an extensive trail system built out in a place where the job market has been hit hard by downturns in the coal industry. It's one way that the region is attempting to pump new life back into the economy, using a familiar Family Feud name and ATVs to draw people to the region. The Hatfield and McCoy ATV trail system has been up and running in southern West Virginia since the early 2000s, Emily Allen reports.
On a Thursday morning at the Devil Ants Hatfield gravesite in Logan County, most people wouldn't expect to find anything other than gravestones with the last name Hatfield. Renee Simons and Eric Hartchuk from Texas hop off their four-wheeler to check out a dignified statue of Devil Ants himself.
We got to Man, what's today, Thursday? Yeah. We got to Man Wednesday, and
they're here for more than just West Virginia history. Simons says they saw a sign for the gravesite while riding the nearby Hatfield-McCoy trail system. It's a network of wooded, mountainous routes for ATV riding in southern West Virginia. Where's
that? It's, in Texas, it's just, mud. You know, there's no hills, there's no, nothing like up here, and the colors up here are so pretty.
The trails are run by the Hatfield-McCoy Regional Recreation Authority. The group's executive director, Jeffrey Lusk, says the group chose to use the Hatfield-McCoy name based on an infamous feud of the late 1800s between two regional families.
We've taken what was maybe otherwise looked as a negative, you know, one of the largest family feuds in the country, and turned it into a positive, turned it into, you know, the most successful all-terrain vehicle trail system in the eastern U.S.
According to Lusk, the state sold roughly 50,000 permits to use the trails last year. This year, he anticipates the state will have sold 55,000. 85% will be sold to out-of-state riders. This influx of tourists, many of whom don't know much about the state, could mean big bucks for southern communities that have traditionally relied on a waning coal industry. In 2014, a Marshall University study showed tourists coming to use the Hatfield-McCoy trails spent around $22 million on local businesses in 2013. Lusk expects the number will double when Marshall University completes a new economic impact study in 2020. Right now, there are trailheads open in five southern counties: Mercer, McDowell, Wyoming, Mingo, and Logan.
You have to have enough property to do it. You have to have willing landowners. You have to have all the pieces have to line up just perfect to get one of these open. Thusly why, you know, after 19 years, you only have 8 systems and not 19. You can't build one of these every year.
But opening a trailhead isn't the automatic key to success. Lusk says communities need to match his organization's investment with local lodging and business development. The city of Welch in McDowell County has recently set out to become the most ATV-friendly community in West Virginia.
It's not an industry that we ever suspected that we would have, but now it's here, and we need to better facilitate what's needed for these tourists.
That's Jason Grubb, the recently hired business development specialist for the city of Welch.
Anywhere you go in this area, there's not a weekend that you don't come to Welch that you don't see ATVs running all over the highways, all over the mountains, at every local restaurant, at every place you could imagine. A lot of people consider that they may be the salvation for southern West Virginia by way of tourism.
Grubb says Welch started on its journey about 2 years ago when it passed an ordinance allowing ATVs on public roads. Many communities along the Hatfield-McCoy trails have done the same. Grubb says continued success relies on Welch connecting with its business community.
We need more restaurants here in order to facilitate places for them to eat, places for entertainment. We need more lodging in the area. It's something we've not had a lot of in the past. It used to in the 60s and 70s when coal was popular. There's a lot more lodging in the area. These days, there's not as much, but that's what we need more of in order to be able to accommodate the number of people that come in. It's a lot of residential areas, but not a lot of lodging for tourism.
Half an hour away in Pineville, Wyoming County, entrepreneurs left and right are opening cabins and homes to tourists with trail riding equipment. That includes Jill Hendricks. For the last 8.5 years, she's owned the Ole Jose Mexican Grill and Sports Bar. She estimates tourists make up more than half of her daily business during the 6 to 8 months when they're most active.
You know, as the riders were coming in, we just started being, realizing that there was such a need for lodging.
Hendricks has 3 houses, 2 of which are duplex models for visiting ATV riders in need of a place to stay. As a real estate agent, she says she has even sold a few vacation homes to out-of-staters.
We're probably, in our little county, we may be selling 4 or 5, maybe 6 a year, us personally.
Tourists have definitely helped buoy the local economy with their spending,
but Hendrick says having outsiders come into these small towns can boost morale within the community.
Sometimes when you've lived in a place and been raised there, I think you become complacent, and also sometimes you can become a little negative. And then you see all these people coming in that are so positive, and then you start looking around and going, wait a minute, maybe it is a pretty cool place to live.
The Hatfield-McCoy Trails Regional Recreation Authority plans to open trailheads in two more southern counties this spring. Director Lusk says the authority is working to develop a second trail system spanning five more counties further north. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Emily Allen.
You can hear more stories about the Hatfield and McCoy Trail System and how the Hatfield and McCoy feud itself has a complicated history this Sunday on Inside Appalachia. We'll discuss how some descendants of the Hatfield and McCoy families are trying to take back that narrative and reclaim their identity. Listen to the show Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This week's episode of Mountain Stage is a special episode titled The Class of 89, featuring notable performances from that landmark year in the show's history. Our song of the week is by the father of bluegrass music himself, Bill Monroe. Here he is with the classic Uncle Penn, recorded in May of 1989 in Charleston, West Virginia.
Come from far away, they danced all night till the break of day. When they called her a holler, don't she know, you know, Uncle Penn was ready to go. Uncle Penn played a fiddle on a how it rang. You'd hear it talk, you'd hear it sing. Played an old piece called Soldier Joy, and when it go Boston boy, the greatest of all, what Jenny Lynn, maybe that's where feeling begin. And in and about some dirt, hard to feel in a Boston. Uncle Penn played a fiddle on a halberd ring, you'd hear it talk, you'd hear it sing. Forget that mournful day when Uncle Penn was called away. They hung up his fiddle, they hung up his bow. They knew it was time for him to go. And in and about some down hard hill in above the tent, Uncle Penn played a fiddle on a halberd ring. You'd hear it talk, you'd hear it sing.
Penn. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys performing Uncle Penn on Mountain Stage 30 years ago in 1989. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Public Broadcasting, West Virginia Morning, rather, is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.